What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com. This is my NXT review for NXT TakeOver 31. I have a very different way of recording this because I want to get this review to you as quick as possible. I am always on the Triple H post-show media calls, so I'm actually doing this intro minutes before the show goes on the air. I keep my notes for my live blog, the match ratings, all that, and then immediately after each match, I'll give you a few minutes of my thoughts on each particular match. Then I pause the recording, go right back, and then I post it right after NXT TakeOver 31. So I know some of you are like, how is he putting out this 10 to 20 minute show like 2 minutes after? Well, just pulled back the curtain. There's the magic. Of course, check out Jeremy Lambert and Phil Lindsay. They are doing the official Fightful.com post show for NXT TakeOver 31. And I'll be on the Triple H media call. That will all be on YouTube.com/Fightful and Fightful.com. But I think that the NXT TakeOver 31 card, going into it, it looked real good. As we reported last week, the new Capital Wrestling Center, we didn't report that specific name. That was reported today by Sports Illustrated on behalf of WWE. But they're back at the Performance Center away from Full Sail, and I thought this was a major improvement over Full Sail University. NXT, I think, could stand to have some different production as is, but they've got elements of the Thunderdome with video screens up on the wall. Then they had individual pods for spectators of like 5 to 10, I believe. There were 10 chairs in each one. They had a bunch of water bottles and hand sanitizer and paper towels. But right before the show, they had their chairs taken away. Chairgate number 2. Everybody on Reddit knows I love to report a good chair story. Pretty early on, you had some doofuses in the crowd not wearing their masks. WWE got to step in, take care of that. Got to step in and take care of that. That's stupid. Very stupid. Make them wear their masks or don't let them in. Period. Otherwise, I thought it was a massive upgrade from what they've been doing. The fence that they used around the barricade looked so much better than the plexiglass. And I don't have to listen to those NXT recruits bashing on the plexiglass, although there was still some that were doing that. Damian Priest defeated Johnny Gargano to defend or successfully defend the NXT North American Championship. Priest is quickly becoming one of my favorite performers to watch in wrestling. From an aesthetic, he just looks cool. They got to book him cool too, but he's got a great flatliner, does that razor's edge to the apron. So you see those elements of Scott Hall in him. You can see that influence there. And this match is as good as you would expect. The strikes are really hard. The transitions are really fast and smooth. Their reversals are good, and they're high-impact moves. Johnny is one of those guys that can be much smaller than somebody like Damian Priest and still hit a clothesline to the back of his head and you believe it. Especially when he gets Damian Priest down to his knees and then does the strike. You got a lot more leverage that way. You got a lot more power that way. You're coming down at somebody instead of up, so it's the velocity is increased. Johnny Gargano is really smart about things like that, and really a lot of people in NXT are, because you see Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa doing that as well. But Priest accidentally took out two members of security with a crazy tope con hilo. Oh, it's breathtaking when he does that. Sometimes you forget how big he is. And, I mean, The Undertaker kind of set the tone when you got a 6'9", 6'10 guy doing the type of stuff he does. And Damian Priest is probably 6'4", 6'5". He's billed at 6'5", but I don't think there's any way he's any less than 6'4". He's doing that stuff, and it's just unreal. 38 years old doing it. 240, 250 pounds doing it, too. Amazing. It was breathtaking, and he took out a couple of members of security in doing so. And that allowed Johnny to kick him in the balls and land a super kick. Landed or applied the Gargano escape, but Priest got out of it. This really made Priest look strong. And I was fearful that they would go just right to beating Damian Priest. After he got that title, they did a lot of the really terrible booking for him. they did a lot of the terrible things that, like with Cameron Grimes, with Damian Priest, and it just didn't make any sense. Then this happened, and this made him look really good. And this threw the result of Io Shirai and Candice LeRae in doubt. I thought LeRae and Johnny were both going to win their titles. But Gargano went for a slingshot DDT, but Priest turns it into his finish. This was a perfect opener for me. It really set the tone and set up the next match, which is Kushida versus Velveteen Dream. Kushida won that, as many expected, as he should. He is, yeah. I'll leave it there about Velveteen Dream. Velveteen did the shittiest Bronco Buster I've ever seen and then said, boo me now. That is one of the most idiotic things I have, or idiotic decisions I've ever heard. I don't know if it got approved or if he just did it himself, but it was fucking stupid. It was stupid. Kushida won this match with a hoverboard lock submission. This was a lot more physical than I expected, but considering the bad blood between the two within the context of the storyline, it makes sense. Also, it looked like they were both dressed for a street fight because they both had, like, jeans on. After the match, Kushida beats the brakes off of Velveteen Dream and arm bars him. Officials have to pull him off. This was a fine match. It was okay. It was much different than I expected, and I think that if Velveteen Dream was at a different point in his career with different circumstances, I think this match would have been a lot better. I think it could have stole the show. But that wasn't the situation. Those weren't the circumstances. That's not what presented themselves. But Kushida gets a big win here. The biggest of his WWE career thus far. But WWE announced Halloween Havoc for October 28th at the end of the month. I love that. Bring it back. Do it. Great imagery. Great theme. Halloween Havoc is a classic. Eric Bischoff would often say on his podcast that a lot of people saw Starrcade as the main event for WCW, but he saw Halloween Havoc as that, and so did Tony Schiavone. I'm glad they're bringing it back. I love it. NXT Cruiserweight title match. Oh boy, did I love this. Santos Escobar defeated Swerve Scott, and I thought Scott would win this. A Nikita Krylov fan, who some of you may know from our MMA side, name-dropping him here and there, messaged me to let me know he is now a casual NXT viewer and a new Santos Escobar fan, so he's got to be happy. Swerve was really aggressive with his dive into the barricade and the strikes. They were chucking and ducking. The work was great. I thought the audio from WWE improved significantly during this match. Mendoza and Wild distracted Swerve and set up a shoulder breaker, and I love me a good shoulder breaker. Not nearly enough in wrestling today, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But Ashanti Adonis gets some pay-per-view shine. There is a Super Frankensteiner on Escobar from the top rope to the outside, but Wild and Mendoza catch him and, like, let him down. Ashanti Adonis shows up and runs them off. I like them using him more, but he's like 1-16 on TV. So they're going to have to reestablish him besides just having him show up and beat up two guys and run him off. To me, there was no sense in that. I was like, okay, I like him. It's cool. But I don't buy it because he's lost 16 one-on-one matches. But just, I think that them rechristening him Ashanti Adonis instead of Tahuti Miles is good. It's just when that happened, they should have brought a push with it. New attitude, new look, all that stuff, and give him a renewed push. I probably would not have had Swerve kick out of the Phantom Driver, especially if he's going to lose, because I would have saved that for a main event, whether it be on NXT TV or a pay-per-view down the line with Santos Escobar. I would have had him save that. But this match is just unreal good. Swerve stomps on Escobar's arm and a 450 couldn't win it. They're brawling on the apron and Swerve gets knocked back into the exposed steel, the turnbuckle from the outside. And like a double underhook shoulder breaker, even though they said the knee connected with the face, it was more of a shoulder breaker, won it for Escobar. And again, I love a good shoulder breaker. You can't get the shoulder up if it's broken. This ruled. This was the match I've been waiting for Santos Escobar to have. This is the match that I thought that he needed to have. I mean, he's such a great performer. He's such a veteran of the business. This is the type of match that he needed. I've seen him have unbelievable matches. I've seen him have good singles matches with Phoenix, with Johnny Mundo, with Mil Muertes. I've seen him part of so many, like 10 ways, 7 ways, 6 ways, all that. But since Lucha Underground, I've been waiting for that big performance out of him. You know, the first match with Swerve Scott, it was okay. The Drake Maverick match, eh, it wasn't really for me. I mean, I've seen him wrestle Phoenix in singles matches, and it just wasn't quite there. The last man standing in Lucha Underground, sure, but I'm talking like post-Lucha Underground. I don't remember him having that defining performance, and this was the defining performance, and it was a good one for Swerve Scott, too. And the ambient noise in this match helped a lot. It actually added a lot where at the level in which he did, this was necessary. He needed a performance like this, but now we got to find that other thing. We found something in Swerve Scott's performance that clicks, but that's never been the issue. Just need a little bit more something as far as a character goes. Candice LeRae against Io Shirai. Io Shirai won this match, retained her women's championship. This is a fine match. Wasn't as on fire as I would have expected, but it was still a pretty good match. I'm a fan of Shirai's headstand dropkick. This is primarily Candice working over Shirai. I love Shirai landing on her feet out of several flipping attacks from Candice. There's a Gargano escape, and Candice accidentally hits the ref, and I was like, ah, that's weak. But then Io does the air raid crash, and Candice got her feet up on the moonsault, and that launches Io into the ref. To me, I'm like, all right, 2 ref bumps, I'm okay with that if that's going to take one out. Candice does the surfboard stomp, no ref. Johnny runs out with a ref shirt, like that does anything, and tries a fast count, but Io kicks out. And Candice ends up hitting Io with the title, kick out. I don't know how many, I can't believe it's not over faces that we saw tonight, but you know. And Io wins with the Spanish fly and a moonsault. Fine match. Good match. The story was after. They debuted 2 new wrestlers on NXT. Toni Storm pops up on the Titantron and says she's back in NXT and it's Toni time. Now, this is after earlier this evening when Rhea Ripley said, you know what? I think I'm going to challenge for this title next. I think I want this title. Well, Toni has a little something to say about that, as does Ember Moon. Ember Moon was the person riding the motorcycle, came out with her helmet, has a new hairdo, takes her helmet off. She's back. I'm so happy. Ember Moon needs to be in NXT. Really, she needed to be on SmackDown or an AEW. But NXT, we can handle that. NXT is a good place for Ember Moon. I'm very glad to see her there. She will be used much better there than she was on Raw. I mean, my God, she was used horribly on Raw. It was embarrassing how they used her on Raw. One of the top in-ring talents in women's wrestling, and they just abused her. So I'm very excited to see Ember Moon back. I constantly, on the Q&A show, get asked, what wrestler would benefit the most from moving from AEW to WWE or WWE to AEW? And I think from a total business standpoint that would benefit WWE, AEW, and the individual, I think Ember Moon moving to AEW would benefit all those involved. AEW would get one of the best workers in the world, a veteran who can teach, who isn't afraid to criticize those that she's in the ring with, that can lead, and that can be the head of their division. Ember Moon would get that feature spot and would be a legit main eventer for that division. And WWE would not have to listen to people like me bitch about the fact that they don't have any clue how to use this awesome talent. And really, if WWE wants one thing, it's for people to bitch less. NXT title match, Finn Balor against Kyle O'Reilly. This match was unlike any other on the card. You could only really compare it to Dream and Kushida because of the heavy strikes. But even then, this was still way different they laid it in, and they had to be different on this show. O'Reilly uses the Regalplex. They teased going in and out of their signature moves. One of my favorite spots of this entire show was Balor countering a heel hook with a sharpshooter. He used basically a non-MMA finish submission to counter that heel hook. And needless to say, if you've watched a bunch of heel hooks in the UFC or MMA, you've never seen it turned into a sharpshooter, but Balor did it really, really well. They beat the crap out of each other. Kyle kicked out of a 1916. There was a great submission spot where Kyle O'Reilly went in and out of a knee bar, a heel hook, and Achilles lock, which they called the heel hook, all three of those things, but he was transitioning out of those three things. So if this makes sense, he had a heel hook applied, and they actually called it a knee bar, a heel hook, and Achilles lock. He did all three of those submissions eventually, but not when they called it. He just transitioned in and out of those, and Balor like briefly punched his way loose and then got to the ropes. I really adore watching Kyle O'Reilly work. It is that MMA style. I used to hate that when I was, before I got into MMA. Before I got into training MMA, I really didn't think much of it. But then again, that's back when like Davey Richards was doing the style. And quite frankly, it lacked a lot of sense when he did it. It doesn't lack sense when Kyle O'Reilly does it. He's wonderful at it. A bloody Balor gets the win with the coup de grace. This was a good one. This was another good one. I still think that Escobar and Swerve Scott ended up taking or stealing the show, so to speak. But Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor was great. Kyle O'Reilly, we knew he belonged at the top. I don't think that anybody could have argued that, especially as much as he has improved in recent years, like from a charisma standpoint or a charismatic standpoint. It's the same thing. But I just think that it was a great showing for him. And NXT left this show with a lot of people probably that were going to end up leaving the brand because of the draft, but they picked up Ember Moon and Toni Storm. You could do a lot worse than that, in my opinion. So after the match, the main event, they shake hands, but then Ridge Holland shows up and he's got Adam Cole over his shoulder. Just dumps him ringside, and Undisputed Era show up and they're like, "What's going on? Get a medic," etc., etc. Obviously, they're worried about their buddy. So we're left with that question mark. I think Ridge Holland is going to end up being really good. I don't know if he's going to be associated with Balor, but I hope so. That would be a good one. That'd be a great way to give a little bit more to the Balor character, because I don't know what more we can see out of him right now. So you got Ridge Holland emerging. You've got Kyle O'Reilly emerging. Damian Priest solidifies himself. Kushida with a big win. Ember coming back, Tony coming back, NXT's looking good, guys. Very excited for the Wednesday Night Wars this week. Thank you, guys. We're out.